Welcome to the Heal and Restore podcast, where we engage in open and honest conversation about spirituality, marriage, family, and the struggles and victories we encounter on this journey we call life. Our goal is that you will find a new way of living as you look closer at yourself in these areas of your life, which will lead to a new, happier, and healthier you. Now, here's your host, the power couple, Randy and Kathy Boyd. Greetings and welcome to this episode of the Heal and Restore podcast. Well, it's just going to be myself today. My wife is not feeling well, so she's laying down taking care of herself. But that being said, we're going to continue with our podcast this month of it's Prevent Child Abuse Month. The April is the month of Prevent Child Abuse. So that's that's something that burns in my heart dearly. So we're going to continue on that subject this month. And today I'm going to be talking about who the perpetrators are. And I know I touched on that a little bit last week, but I'm going to go more in depth on who the perpetrators are, as it is very important that you should all be aware of this. Now, if you're one of those parents or grandparents or anybody that says, well, it'll never happen in my family. I mean, it just can't happen, blah, 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 but there's a thousand excuses. So you are the ones that definitely should listen to these podcasts, because you'll be surprised at a lot of things that I share in these. It can happen to anybody. So we must educate ourselves. And that's a primary purpose of this series of podcasts, is to educate the people. If we don't educate ourselves, if we're burying our head in the sand over abuse, right? Physical, emotional, spiritual, and then even sexual. I'll talk a little bit about that. That's actually my primary expertise, but abuse is abuse, and the effects are pretty much the same straight across the board. There's a few differences, but not many. So this month, we're going to talk about the perpetrators. All right, so I'm sorry. On this podcast, we're going to talk about the perpetrators. And so I'm going to go in a little bit of depth about it. So who are perpetrators? Perpetrators of child abuse can come from various backgrounds and relationships to the child. Okay. I'm going to start off with this, that perpetrators are not likely who you think they are. They're not a guy that's living underneath a bridge or a homeless guy living on the street. Now, certainly they can be abusers and sexually abuse children and adolescents, absolutely. But the ones that we need to be aware of are pastors, policemen, firemen, and I hate to say it, my dad's a fireman, just everyday good citizens, right? The ones that you would think can never hurt a flock. Those are the ones that you should just, you don't want to go around on pins and needles around them, but just be cautious and make sure you know the people that your children are associating with. And most importantly, don't leave your children alone at a park or in a shopping center. Man, you're asking for a disaster to happen. And I don't wish that on any parent. I can't imagine losing one of my grandkids right now. It would absolutely tear me apart. So we got to be careful about who the perpetrators are. I'm going to go into who they are here in a minute. But first of all, the most vulnerable children for abuse of any kind are children between the ages of 12 and 18. All right, probably those are important years for those children and the adolescents. So they're most vulnerable between those ages. When it comes to sexual abuse, 97% of perpetrators are family members or friends. That's a high number of people. Family members or friends. And I'll talk about who some of these are in a minute. Only 7% are strangers. Okay, now, again, and this is from Megan's Law and Crime Center. I want you to understand that the statistics with any kind of abuse, and especially with sexual abuse, they are all over the place. There is no accurate statistics being taken of either one. I've seen numbers as high as 1 in 37, especially for sexual abuse of boys. But the reality is the number is more like 1 in 4, 1 in 2, right? That's, if you listened to me last week, I gave you a couple examples. Okay, so we've got to be careful. Again, it's not who you think it might be. You got to, you know, my own perpetrator, the sexual abuse, physical, emotional, spiritual, came from my stepfather. And it started a month after my dad died. And everything but sexual abuse, covertly, it was sexual abuse. My mother was a perpetrator. Okay, so I had family members doing it. With sexual abuse, men are overwhelmingly the perpetrators. They're ranging from adolescent to elderly. Okay, so men are primarily the ones that are perpetrating, whether it's a boy or a girl. Okay, 14% of perpetrators are women. Now, people say, how can that be women? You know, there's no, women can't be doing that kind of stuff. And how can it be abuse when, you know, it's a natural thing to happen? So, believe me, you sit down in some of the circles I've sat down and you've heard the stories of women abusing boys, you know, it's pretty horrific, the outcome. Dads high-five them, they're the champion of the neighborhood. There's 1,000 different things that go on. So just be aware, 14% are women, and they can do significant amount of damage, okay? So here's some of the perpetrators. Parents or caregivers. Parents or caregivers, all right? Either or. And my, again, I'm going to go to my experience. My stepfather and my mother were very, very neglectful, very abusive to me. And I had caregivers, right? Babysitters were extremely abusive to me as well, all right? Sadly, parents or caregivers who are supposed to protect and care for children can sometimes be the perpetrators of abuse due to various reasons, including stress. There's really no excuse for any kind of abuse, period. What it is people don't know how to handle their stress to keep their anger control. So due to various reasons, including stress, mental health issues, substance abuse, or a history of being abused themselves. That last one is a very high likelihood, right? Because that's all they know is they were abused. And a lot of them just, that's how they treat their children, right? Now, I wasn't going to treat my children the way I was treated. So we have a very loving family. And I wasn't the best dad all the time, but my kids will tell you today that they think I was, and they love me a lot. So those are some of the things that we want to be careful of. In 2021, perps of child abuse, okay, equaled I don't think this includes sexual abuse. This is physical, emotional, spiritual, and neglect. believe it or not, not overwhelmingly, but 233,918 were female, right? And 213,672 were males. And that statistic was pulled from a website called Statista, right? Now, my wife and I talked about this. And it makes sense that it would be higher women. Now, I don't know what it would be today with the way the world is, with a lot of stay-at-home dads and so on and so forth. But you take these numbers and think about it over however long they did their study for. It would make sense that women would be the higher ones of neglect because they're home all the time, right? And they're dealing with a lot of different stress. And so men, you know, they fall below them, but not by much, to be honest with you. You know, fathers, they work hard. Let's say they work hard, right? They come home from work, they're stressed out, right? Their kid might have had, he might have had a bad day at work. The kid might have had a bad day at school, and dad just takes his anger out on the kid. So it happens. And we have to get a grip on that. It can all be changed. It just takes time, right? Just because it was done to us doesn't mean we can do it to others. And there's also with substance abuse, because I'm 18 years clean and sober, that no excuse for that. You can get help, right? And don't be lecturing me or saying anything bad about what I said about this, because I know what it takes. I've got 18 years. If substance abuse can be overcome, but you've got to want it. You want to get the help. And if you do that, you can become the person you thought you would never be. So we'll move on to the next one, which is other family members. This could include siblings, grandparents, aunts, uncles, or cousins, right? So it could be anybody in the family. Anybody in the family could be doing it. And believe me, I have got firsthand accounts of grandparents, grandfathers specifically, molesting their daughter, their granddaughters, their young granddaughters. So don't think that grandma and grandpa are not capable of doing it. They are, especially when it comes to physical abuse too. I mean, I've heard tons of stories on that as well. So the next one is family, friends, or acquaintances. Sometimes individuals who are known to the family can perpetrate abuse. This, it could include neighbors, family, friends, or acquaintances who have access to the child. Let me tell a story that I was told, and it's actually a scenario that I was taught that. So you have a single mother, okay, and she's got her son or daughter, either one, and they're playing baseball, right? And you got, you know, you could say you got Tommy from down the street. Maybe he's a neighborhood kid. Maybe he's a whoever he is. And he keeps on showing up to the same games as your son and you do. All right. And what he's doing is, you got to understand, perpetrators will groom for up to 5 years. For up to 5 years, they will groom you or your children. All right. So they show up to the baseball games and they do it for a consistent time. And what they're doing is they're watching you and they're watching your son. They see that you're never there with a husband or a boyfriend. They see the son playing ball, needing a father figure. They might come over and talk to you if you're a female, if you're a mom, right? And get to know you, be nice to you, offer to take you and your son out to coffee or to get ice cream after a good ball game. He might be there after a bad ball game trying to help your child cheer up, or take him out to ice cream because he had a good game, right? So over time, they earn your trust. They groom you. And you would think, oh, Tommy can never do anything to my child. He would never hurt him. All right. Well, eventually it might be 4 years, it might be 2 years, it might be 6 months, it might be 4 years. He gets your son alone. And let's say they go on a camping trip. Mom goes, yeah, he can go up with you. He always wanted to go fishing and camping. And the first day goes good. They fish, they have fun. But that night, things turn around in the tent. Now, do you think he's going to say anything to anybody? Where was his dad to take care of him this stuff? You know, where was his dad? So he's not going to say nothing because he doesn't want to lose the father figure. I hope that makes sense. We got to be careful with who we let our children be alone with. And if you are a single mother, right, and you have a boyfriend that comes into your home, your chances, your child's chance is 50% higher of being molested or raped if you leave that your child alone with them. Never leave your child alone, even a teenage daughter or son. Never leave them alone with your boyfriend. Be cautious. This is where it counts. Okay? It's important. Teachers or coaches. Teachers or coaches. Sorry about that. I lost my place. Individuals in position of authority, such as teachers or coaches, can sometimes abuse their power to harm children. Now, I'm sure you've all heard, you know, on the news, or maybe you haven't, but there's been a lot of coaches that have ended up abusing kids. And the reason goes back to being a a father figure and a positive support for your son or your daughter. Okay. And then it just develops and things get out of hand. Okay. I know one female teacher. I got a call from a friend one day, and her son finally reported it, but was being molested by a high school teacher, a female teacher. And he would have this female teacher buy him drugs. I'm sorry, not drugs, cigarettes and alcohol. And that was the trade-off. Cigarettes and alcohol for providing this teacher with sex. She got busted, and the kid ended up getting some help, and he should be okay. Bad thing is, all of his buddies at school that he was helping, that he was getting the alcohol and cigarettes for, abandoned him because they called him a rat. Can't believe you did that. So again, there's one application of the effects. All of a sudden, all of his friends bailed on him because he ratted out this teacher for having sex with him. As you know, that's one of the effects. That's one reason you're not going to say nothing. Nobody will believe you, or they'll make fun of you. Strangers, in some cases, children may be abused by individuals they don't know, such as the strangers on the street or online. Now, the big online thing right now is a big thing. So I hope you're really monitoring your children's online time and teens' online time. Sorry, I'm tired today. You are the parent. Until they're 18, you have a right to censor everything on their social media. And I hope that you're doing it. I really hope that you're doing it. And a stranger could be somewhere like I did with the baseball field, similar to that. Could be the stranger. Okay. So we have institutional perpetrators. Abuse can also occur within institutions such as schools, religious organizations, foster care homes, or residential care facilities, et cetera. Okay. Foster care, 25 to 40% of children in foster care are abused. And that's a sad, sad state of affairs that's happening. Church, religious organizations, you know, I thank them for making it to the news, to bringing up the sexual abuse of boys up in front in the news, right? But they're not the worst ones. They're just one. That's a religious facility. That's just one of the perpetrators. And yeah, it's big, but you know, you got one of four boys and one of three girls that are being molested in this country. I mean, it's worse than the Catholic Church. It happens, you know, like I say, it can happen with teachers in school. There's just, you've got to be aware of everything. You just got to have your radar up. We can't walk around on pins and needles and worry about it all the time, but we just have to be mindful of who is doing what with our children, right? Do I agree with it? Has my child's behavior changed in a negative way? And if it has, that's when it's time that for sure you got to start looking into it. But you need to start paying attention when they're going to daycare. It's just, you got to be hyper alert with this stuff. I wish I could tell you didn't have to, but the reality is you have to. And then with all the child trafficking that's happening, we can't even go into that. Okay. In specialized foster homes, sexual abuse was the most frequent type of abuse, 41%, right? And non-related foster homes, the second most prevalent form of maltreatment was physical abuse, 22%. followed by sexual abuse at 20% and the lack of supervision at 12%. So in 41%, it was the most frequent type of abuse, sexual abuse was the most frequent type. So the percentage looks like it was a little lower. Again, I don't trust the statistics that are thrown out there. They can be manipulated. They're not real accurate. And believe me, you guys done a lot of research on this stuff. It's hard to find. And then the one other thing, this is really important. And I actually, well, I'll tell you who it is. And then what I'll do is I'll go tell you just a short story. Most men who molest little boys are not gay. Okay. So that thing, well, they're gay if they're molesting boys. Most men molest little boys are not gay. Only 21% of the child molesters that they study who assault little boys were exclusively homosexual. Now, this is a staggering one, I'm going to tell you right now. Nearly 80% of the men who molested little boys, ready, were heterosexual or bisexual, and most of these men were married and had their own child. And I got that from Abel G, 1987, August, a child abuser, how can you spot him? Red Book 100. Okay? So when I say you got to watch your own home, you got to watch your own home. All right. I was talking at a treatment facility, as I did this one facility a couple times a month. And one of the guys there, these guys were right out of prison and going, you know, they were in a rehab center. So not good guys, but, you know, they just had a rough life. And the one kid looked at me and said, Randy, he goes, if they're doing that to boys, they're gay. I go, man, I used to think the same thing, but they're not. And we got in this little tit for tat. And no matter what I threw at him, as far as statistics or you know, explanations, I heard him, I understood him, but nothing was going to change his mind. Right. So that can be dangerous, because if you're going around thinking that somebody gay molested you or your child, raped you or your child, right? The if you don't get help, you're going to end up wanting to kill one of these gay men. And they're human beings. We don't have to agree with their lifestyle, but they are human beings just like we are. They're a child of God just like we are. And all we got to do, we don't have to like what they do, but God just calls us to love them all. I had a neighbor boy a neighbor kid that I grew up with. And in his 20s, he ended up killing a couple gay guys in Newport Beach. And way he was found out, he started bragging about it to somebody. I think it was an undercover detective, right? And so this undercover detective met with him again. He didn't say nothing to the first time. And he met with him again and brought a buddy over. And they recorded it. And John was essentially arrested and convicted of murder of all these gay guys. Now, was John molested or beat? I don't know. John had a different childhood. He was a good kid as far as I knew. But, you know, when I look back on it, maybe he was. So we have to be careful and not sit there and falsely accuse somebody of sexually abusing or somebody abusing your child. Right? Based on race, based on culture, based on looks, right? Based on anything. The thing that we're responsible for as adults and as parents is if a child comes to us and tells us, and it's going to be the hardest thing they do in the world, the hardest thing, and the worst thing you can do is if they do this is punish them. Tell them all you're lying. It must have never happened. And believe me, these are words that come out of parents' mouth. I honest to God, right? The best thing you can do is to sit down and first of all, say, are you okay? And actually scratch that. First thing you can do is Thank them for coming to you and tell them how much courage and strength it must have taken for you to come to me. And I want you to trust me that I'm going to do the right thing. Okay. So that includes, I'm going to have to call the law. And that's when you're going to back out. You're going to be there for your child. You're not going to bait him, right? Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's spiritual, whether it's sexual, you're not going to bait him. You're not going to put words in his mouth, right? Because it'd be real easy to do. But you're going to let the authorities, and I can't argue with you that some of them aren't any good, right? And I can hear some of you right now, they'll never do nothing. Well, maybe they won't. But let them find out. Let them do their job. That's the best thing you can do. By not believing your child, you're just becoming the problem. And we don't need no more problems. We need solutions for these issues. I know I lecture a little bit on these podcasts, but I can't help it. It's something I'm passionate about. And, I have parents, I hear parents, I don't have parents. I've heard a lot of parents say, well, what's wrong with all these kids today? Or what's wrong with my kids? And I'm going to have a lot of people hate me right now. Okay. And I know it's not all, but mom and dad, go and look at yourself in the mirror. Stand in front of the mirror and take a look at yourself, because you're likely the issue. Not all mom and dads. I'm not saying that. There's a lot of great mom and dads out there, and I know them. But there's a lot of children out there that got parents that are not the best parents in the world. And we can get help for them as well. So this is all about bringing the truth forward. But in the long run, there is help for the perpetrator. And there's definitely a lot of help for the victims. Now, I stress the victims. The perpetrators just takes a special kind of help. And I don't really know what that takes. I heard one perpetrator being interviewed on the news, and he says, you can't fix this. Whether it's sexual, physical, emotional, or spiritual. Abuse is abuse. Trauma is trauma. Trauma is not what happens to us. It's what happens inside of us. You've got to remember that. Okay. With this, I'll end. It's important to remember that perpetrators of child abuse can come from any background or walk of life. And it's not always easy to identify them. That's why it's crucial for communities to be vigilant and create safe environments for children, as well as to have mechanisms in place for reporting and addressing abuse when it occurs. Children and Family Research Center. Okay. I'm going to give one incident that happened to myself. Well, Kathy and I ran Celebrate Recovery at a church in California. And we had a pretty strong celebration place for the kids. And the leader of Celebration Place, he called me up one night. Kathy and I weren't there. And he says, Randy, I don't know what to do. We have a girl that walked in. She's got choke marks and bruises on her throat. She's got red marks on her face. And she said that her mom was hitting her, beating her. He goes, what do I do? And then I asked this my leader a lot of pointed questions. I want to make sure I understood him right. I says, call the police. Call 911. So church wasn't happy with me, but that's okay. I don't care. I'm more concerned about that child. So he called 911. And here's the thing that really made me feel good. The police officer showed up fairly quickly. They ended up taking mom to jail. Grandma was there to pick up the kids. And grandma blamed the granddaughter for what happened to mom. That's another devastating thing that should have never happened. But the police officer told my leader, he says, I am so happy that you called us first. Because if you would have called CPS, it would have been at least 2 weeks, if at all, we ever heard about this case. So call 911. Do not wait for the next day. Or maybe he won't do it or she won't do it again. Once is enough. My dogs. Sorry about that. My dogs are barking at dogs walking down the street. I don't have a professional studio yet. So yeah, he's call 911. Don't wait for CPS. I know CPS worker and they're way overworked and overstretched, right? And they don't get to every case and they don't make no qualms about it. So there's if I've offended anybody on that, that part, just live with it. Okay. Because I speak truth of what I hear, not gossip, but I do my research and I do speak truth. And sometimes it hurts. It's hard. Okay. So the children are okay. The mom ended up getting help. And I believe everybody's doing good at this point in time. So anyways, well, I'll keep going about this subject. I'm sorry if it was kind of offbeat this time. I'm tired, but I needed to get this out to you guys today. I know it's... So with that, I will end with, let me see. My wife usually does the ending. Remember this, if you or a loved one needs help, you and your spouse aren't doing well, right? Or you have a child that's there or an adult that's, addicted, whatever. Just check out our website, healandrestorecounseling.com. We offer a free, no cost, 45-minute discovery session via Zoom, or if you're local, you can come right here to our office. But pick up the, check out the website, right? And you can email us right through the website. Also, we have our Heal and Restore Counseling, for the first book Kathy and I put out called How to Heal and Restore Your Marriage. That's also available. You can get a free copy, PDF copy of that book, simply by emailing us and requesting a copy. Or you can also purchase the book itself on Amazon. So, and I do have my book, Healing the Wounded Child Within. It is out there still and selling quite well. So, and I know it's helped a lot of people. So anyways, that's it for me. I feel like I'm rambling on. Remember this, and nobody tells you they love you today. Randy does, but more importantly, God does. Be blessed, everybody, and have an absolutely marvelous. This has been the Heal and Restore Podcast with Randy and Kathy Boyd. We'll have a new episode every Monday. Please like us and be sure to press the follow button on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and 5 other platforms. If you'd like to know more about the services Randy and Kathy offer, please visit them at healandrestorecounseling.com. Thank you for spending time with us, and we'll see you next week. And remember, if nobody tells you they love you today, Randy and Kathy do.